ಓಂ ಶ್ರೀ ಪರಮಾತ್ಮನೇ ನಮಃ. ಜ್ಞಾನ ಕರ್ಮ ಸನ್ಯಾಸ ಯೋಗೋ ನಾಮ ಚತುರ್ಥೋಧ್ಯಾಯ. ದೈವಮೇವಾಪರೇ ಯಜ್ಞಂ 24th. ಬ್ರಹ್ಮಾರ್ಪಣಂ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮಹವಿಃ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮಾಗ್ನೌ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮಣಾಹುತಂ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮೈವ ತೇನ ಗಂತವ್ಯಂ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ಕರ್ಮ ಸಮಾಧಿನಾ. ಅಹಂ ವೈಶ್ವಾನ ದೈವಮೇವಾಪರೇ ಯಜ್ಞಂ ಯೋಗಿನಃ ಪರ್ಯುಪಾಸತೇ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮಾಗ್ನಾವಪರೇ ಯಜ್ಞಂ ಯಜ್ಞೇನೈವೋಪಜುಹ್ವತಿ. ಎಸ್, ಲಾಸ್ಟ್ ಕ್ಲಾಸ್ I said, see, worship, the word yajnaha, yajanam, yagaha. For Sanskrit students, you have to remember this also. Yajnaha, masculine gender word. Yagaha, masculine gender word. Yajanam, neuter gender word. And one more word, kratuhu. All these words mean only the worship. And nowadays, later on, we also have another word, puja, which is a feminine gender word, which means worship. And here I said, first, knowledge is the exalted form of worship. You know, knowing the Lord, knowing the truth is knowing the Lord. Knowing the Lord, having the understanding of what, that all that is, there is only the Lord, is the culmination of prayer and worship, which is the exalted form of worship. If you say, there is nothing other than Bhagavan here, where am I, where is this world, who? There is nothing other than Bhagavan here, because Bhagavan is the truth. All that is here is only Bhagavan. If this is the vision, and this is the knowledge, then it is the exalted form of worship, which is the culmination of worship. It's jnana bhaktihi, you know. And here in this vision, even the prayer comes to an end. That is when you say Brahma, Arpanam Brahma, Havihi Brahma, Agnihi Brahma, Hota Brahma, and then Devata Brahma. What has to be ultimately accomplished is Brahma. So all that is, there is only Brahma. And this is the Yajnaha. Okay. Now, at the 25th verse we saw last class, how the Karma Yogis perform Yajnaha. And when they perform Yajna, when they perform, they invoke, they kindle the fire, offer oblations, and they perform that fire ritual with the proper attitude of offering it to Bhagavan. And then they invoke the grace of Bhagavan in the form of Devatas. That is Deva Yajnaha. Daivameva apare yoginaha, apare yoginaha, daivameva paryupasate. So when the karma yogis, when they worship, they perform rituals, they invoke the grace of Bhagavan in the form of devatas. That in that worship is very, dahacha worship is very effective, useful. It will bless them with arthakamas. At the same time, because karma yogis perform the ritual with the proper attitude, it will also contribute for their mental preparation and mental purity and steadiness, which is required for jnanam. And Brahma agnau apare yajnam yajnena eva upajuhvati. The next one he says, apare Brahma agnau yajnena eva upajuhvati. So Brahman itself is looked upon as the fire. You know, it means the knowledge of reality is looked upon as the fire. Knowledge of the reality implied by the term Brahma, Brahma Jnanam. Knowledge of the reality, knowledge of the truth implied by the term Brahma is what now? Brahma Jnanam is looked upon as the fire. So, some people, they offer themselves yajnam yajnena eva upajuhvati. Which means, they offer themselves by themselves unto the fire of Brahman. What does it mean? They offer themselves unto the fire of knowledge of Brahman. Which means, who are they? Jnana yoginaha, sannyasinaha. So, that we understood two people of two lifestyles. People who had to become qualified for jnanam, who had to become prepared for this as contemplation, had to have that contemplative disposition of the mind, but who have purusharth nischeha and who are committed to the pursuit of knowledge. So for them, in order to become prepared for this jnanam, and they live a life of karma yoga, and such people perform rituals with the proper attitude. They invoke the grace of Bhagavan and of Devatas. Whereas other people, sannyasis, they are sannyasis means not the so-called people who are in saffron robes. People who are totally committed to the pursuit of knowledge and who entertain this contemplative disposition of the mind, who live life of contemplation, and those people offer themselves unto the fire of knowledge of the truth. What does it mean? They offer themselves unto the fire of knowledge of the truth. Because in the wake of the knowledge of the truth, they'll repeatedly see the fact, the people who are contemplative, they would have already understood the fact that all that is, there is only Brahma. And they repeatedly see this fact, how everything is only Brahma, there's only Brahma, there's only Brahma. When they see how, not simply seeing, how all that is, there is only Brahma, when they see, they repeatedly see that there is neither self nor the world, there's no I really. You know, so repeatedly dwelling upon the fact that all that is, there is only Brahma, they repeatedly see that there is no individual, they resolve the individuality in totality, they resolve their identity in Paramatma, Parambrahma. Therefore, cognitively they offer, they resolve the I-sense in reality, in the Atma. So cognitively resolving one's essence in the truth, the reality obtaining in the form of consciousness, thereby resolving the individuality in totality, Bhagavan, is what? Offering themselves by themselves unto the fire of knowledge of Brahma. Shall I repeat it? Repeatedly, in dwelling upon the fact that all that is, there is only Brahma, they cognitively resolve the essence in Brahman, the truth, obtaining in the form of pure knowledge or pure consciousness. Thereby, they resolve the individuality in totality, Bhagavan. And this cognitive resolution of individuality in totality, cognitively resolving the essence in its truth, obtaining in the form of pure consciousness, is said to be what? Offering one's own self by oneself unto the fire of knowledge of Brahman. Okay? This is also what? This is the yajna, jnana yajna. Okay? This is the yajna. So, yajna means don't simply think, so we have to kindle fire and offer oblations. That alone is not the yajna. This is also yajna. This is why I told you many times, yajna means worship. Worship means symbolic act of offering. There's no real offering possible to Bhagavan because all that is there's only Bhagavan. And even you belong to Bhagavan. Okay? Therefore, you cannot offer yourself to Bhagavan. You already, you are Bhagavan's. Apostrophe S. Okay? Already you belong to Bhagavan. Bhagavan doesn't belong to you, but you belong to Bhagavan. Like what? Every wave is wave. Every wave is water. Every wave is ocean. Every wave is part of the ocean. Every wave belongs to the ocean. We say initially every wave belongs to the ocean. Later on we can't say what? Every wave is ocean. Okay? But ocean does not belong to the wave. You know why? Ocean, wave does not cover the ocean, but ocean covers the wave. Isn't it true? That's why wave is already ocean. Wave cannot become ocean. So wave cannot offer itself to, oh ocean, come on, please take me. When is ocean, wave away from ocean? Wave will disappear without the ocean. So wave can exist, enjoy status of being the wave only when it is as part of the ocean. Therefore, there's no way of becoming. So wave belongs to the ocean, we can say in the beginning. We have to see the fact wave is already ocean. But ocean is not the wave. Okay? This is the fact. That similarly, we can never give anything to Bhagavan. Already, what am I? I am already Bhagavan. Bhagavan is not I, but I am Bhagavan. Because I belong to Bhagavan. Bhagavan doesn't belong to me. So Shankaracharya says, one of his beautiful stotrams called Vishnu Shatpadi Stotram. Vishnu Shatpadi Stotram. Very beautiful stotram. I talked to you long ago. I hope you remember, all of you remember this. There, he says, Shankaracharya says, Samudrohi Tarangah Kochana Samudro Natarangah Samudrahahi Tarangah. Wave belongs to ocean. But ocean doesn't belong to the wave. So I belong to you, Lord, even though there's no difference between you and me, still I belong to you. I am yours, you are not mine. I am yours, you are not mine. As a beautiful verse, Krishna, Shankara says, I am yours, but you are not mine. Udhruta naga nagabhidanuja danuja kula mitra mitra shashi drishte drishte bhavati prabhavati na bhavati kim bhavati raskarah matsyadi bhiravatarehi avataravata avata sadavasudham parameshwara paripalyo bhavata bhavata pabhitoham. Now before that it comes in the prefer. Avinaya mapanaya vishnu damaya manashamaya vishayam rigatrishnam bhutadayam vistaraya taraya samsara sagarataha divya dhuni makarande parimala pariboga sachidanande shripati padaravinde bhava bhaya kheda chide vande. This is the verse. Satyapi bheda apagami. Satyapi bheda apagami. Satyapi bheda apagami. Nath tavaham namamaki nastvam. Hey Bhagavan Mahavishnu, yet even though yet satyapi bheda apagame, even though the non-difference between you and me is very clear, even though there's no difference between you and me, essentially we are one, but still, Natha, O Lord, Tava Aham, I am yours, Aham Tava, I am yours, Natha Tava Aham, Na Mamaki Nastvam, you are not mine, O Lord, you are not mine, I am yours. Even though there is non-difference, even though essentially we are one, even though there's non-reality is non-dual, one, secondless, non-dual. So I belong to you, you do not belong to me. I am yours, you are not mine. You know, satyapi bheda apagame. You know, even though difference between you and me has been cognitively negated, satyapi bheda apagame, natha tava aham, naan unnudayavan, tava aham, na mamakinaha tvam, nee ennudayavan alla, mamakinaha na tvam, you do not belong, you are not mine, I am yours. Now, what does it mean? Therefore, you can never, already you are Bhagavans. How can you offer yourself to Bhagavan? Already you are Bhagavans only. How can you offer again? How, it is not, offering is impossible. You cannot offer even yourself to Bhagavan, physically. Or even, no, already Bhagavans. But then how is offering here? You know, if I can see this fact repeatedly, I am essentially non-separate from Bhagavan. If you see this fact and see thereby see that I am Bhagavan, Bhagavan is not mine. And seeing this fact is what? Offering cognitively, seeing oneself being non-separate from Bhagavan essentially, is resolving one's essence in Bhagavan in the form of truth, in terms of consciousness, pure knowledge. Thereby resolving one's individuality in totality is what? Offering oneself to Bhagavan. Offering oneself to Bhagavan by oneself. Offering oneself by one's own self. Like if you see, wave is non-separate from ocean, essentially from the standpoint of water, wave being offered to the ocean. There's a physical offering, isn't it? Cognitive. It's called offering oneself unto the fire of knowledge of Bhagavad Brahma by one's own self. Brahma agni agnau means Brahma jnana agnau apare yajnam yajnena eva upajuhvati. Upajuhvati, offer. Okay. This is the final thing. Anyway, now, that is why finally what we need to understand, we cannot give up anything. We cannot even give up the wrong notions we have about ourselves. I am the doer. I am the enjoyer. I was born. I am a mortal. Any number of notions we entertain about ourselves is erroneous notion. Not that we want to have erroneous notions. We helplessly we entertain wrong notions because of a wrong perception, because thereby mistaking the limitations of anatma to be our limitations. We entertain wrong notions. I am the doer, because body is involved in actions, mind is involved in functions, and the sense organs are involved in functions, and everywhere we have essence widely, therefore we entertain this notion, I am the doer, I am the performer, you know, and I am the enjoyer. So this is the notion. Therefore, there is a strong doership and enjoyership on everyone's part. And if in the wake of the clear knowledge of the clear vision of the truth obtaining as one's own self, one sees oneself from the standpoint of this abstract, formless, all-pervasive reality, the knowledge, the pure knowledge, the pure consciousness as the Atma, the self, the standpoint, the truth, one sees the fact of oneself being, you know, free from doership and enjoyership, and all the wrong notions about the self-resolve, you know, this is what is actually freeing oneself from wrong notions, is actually renunciation of actions through knowledge, which is mokshaha, jivan muktihi. Whatever Krishna emphasizes, we will see that again. Okay, now, and in the following verses, see how I'm repeating this 100 times, I don't mind, because Shastra student must be very, very clear. This is what important lesson everybody is missing. You know, purushartha nischayaha. I don't mind repeating it, because even if you don't understand anything else, you start with this. This is very important. You must be convinced of this fact 100%. Purushartha nischayaha. Definiteness about the purpose of living this life. The definiteness about the ultimate purpose of human life. Living a life of a human being is discovering the fullness, the freedom, which is already there as the nature of the reality obtaining as one's own self. And this is the choiceless end, and to accomplish this and alone, the whole life is lived. And this discovery of the truth itself is discovery of freedom, and which is discovery of one's own self. Discovery of the truth, discovery of freedom, discovery of fullness, discovery of happiness, discovery of one's own self are all synonyms. Itself is the end. And for this, to discover this in one's own mind as one's own real nature, one's mind has to become prepared. And for which there's no way, one has to live a life of karma yoga, you know, all these things. In order to become mentally pure and steady, adequately steady, and whatever discipline we follow also becomes a yoga, preparatory discipline. Whatever you practice, no, you can call it a yoga. A discipline practiced can be called a yoga only if with the Purushartha Nischaya is there. Without the Purushartha Nischaya, whatever you practice, it's only a mere exercise. It will be effective, but it will not contribute for preparing your mind for jnanam. Suppose somebody asks me, without Purushartha Nischaya, without being committed to the pursuit of knowledge, if I live an ethical life, a religious life, if I live a disciplined life, so what? I say, of course, very effective. Still, you enjoy the benefits of living a clean life, living a religious life. Your prayers will be effective. Your worship will be effective. All charitable activities you are doing will get you, earn you a lot of punyam. You know, being ethical, of course, will get you Bhagavan's grace. Definitely no doubt. But, you know what one thing will miss? Mental preparedness required for jnanam. Antahkarna shuddhi, antahkarna naischalyam. The adequate preparedness and steadiness. Preparedness, mental preparedness in terms of mental purity and steadiness is possible only if adequate means what? Preparedness required for jnana. That is possible only when you do anything with the Purushartha Nischaya, the commitment to the pursuit of knowledge. So you are highly ethical, of course you learn a lot of punyam. You are highly religious, you will earn punyam. You will have prosperous life, no doubt. But will you be qualified for jnanam? Okay, will you have that particular mental disposition you need for jnanam? That will not be there unless Purushartha Nischayaha is there. That's why with the Purushartha Nischayaha and with the commitment to the pursuit of knowledge, knowing the value of knowledge, knowing the value of dharma not to be qualified for this jnanam, worshipfully, prayerfully seeking Bhagavan's grace, when a person does whatever he does, everything becomes what? A preparatory discipline. Then everything becomes yoga. And then whatever he does is what? Becomes an offering to Bhagavan. See, with the Purushartha Nischaya, whatever you do, it becomes an offering to Bhagavan. When it becomes an offering to Bhagavan, we call it a worship. Your eating will become a worship when eating becomes an offering. When does eating become an offering? When you do it, you know, whatever you do, with the Purushartha Nischayaha, with the commitment to the pursuit of knowledge, seeking, praying to Bhagavan all the time for his grace to have pure and steady mind, when you do it, it becomes an offering. And any action, not only the act of offering, every action becomes an act of offering. Every action becomes worship when you do it with the Purushartha Nischaya, with the commitment to the pursuit of knowledge, and living a life till enjoined by the Shastram, the conscious of dharma and live, your action becomes an offering. Then it is a yajna. So Krishna is going to say in the following verses how every discipline becomes a yajna. First, he is going to say, Damaha. What is Damaha? Let me tell you, Damaha in masculine gender word. Akarantaha, Pullingaha, Dama Shabdaha. Now, you want say feminine gender word, Dantihi. Dantihi is not very familiar word, but still, Dantihi is equal to Damaha. Shantihi is equal to Shamaha. Dantihi, Shantihi or Damaha, Shamaha. Very popular. You learned Tattva Bodha classes. What is Damaha? Mastery over sense organs is Damaha. Mastery over one's ways of thinking is Shamaha. So mental discipline, sensory discipline. And as every spiritual aspirant, and Shastram emphasizes, these disciplines are important. Why? Only if you have such discipline, and then it will contribute for preparing your mind for jnanam. So with the being indisciplined, impossible to be qualified for jnanam. So even if you practice these disciplines without Purushartha Nischayaha, then you cannot call it a worship. It's a mere exercise. When do you call it a yajnaha? When it becomes an offering, it becomes yajna, worship. Yajna means worship, okay? It must become an offering, then it becomes a worship. When does an action or any discipline becomes offering? Only when you practice it with the Purushartha Nischaya, with the commitment to the pursuit of knowledge. And being ethical. So Krishna says, let us read here. Now I have come to the class. All this time I was just meandering. Just to bring you back, to remind you of the last class lessons. Shrotradinindriyanyanye Sayamagnishu juhvati Shrotradinindriyanyanye Sayamagnishu juhvati Shabdadin Vishayananye Indriyagnishu juhvati Shrotradin Indriyanyanye Sayamagnishu juhvati Shrotradinindriyanyanye Sayamagnishu juhvati शब्दादीन् विषयानन्ये इन्द्रियाग्निषु जुह्वति. शब्दादीन् विषयानन्ये इन्द्रियाग्निषु जुह्वति. ओके, नौ लिसन् हियर्. श्रोत्र आदीनि. श्रोत्रम् literally means ear. Your ear, the instrument, organ of hearing. But here, it's not simply, Shrotram does not mean here the physical ear lobe, which is a golakam. The ear lobe, ear drum, the physical part is called golakam. And in that physical part, which is percept, the physical part is perceptible. In the physically perceptible, in physical part, the golakam, there obtains a subtle power of hearing. Imperceptible, subtle power of hearing, which is called indriyam. This I told you in the very beginning of my classes. Indriya golaka bhedaha. See, like eyelid, the white part of the eye, the eyeball, the all of them what now? Together form the physical eye, which is a golakam. In that physical eye, there obtains a subtle, imperceptible power of seeing, which is called indriyam. So every physical part wherein subtle power obtains is called golakam. The power, subtle power is what? Indriyam. So indriyam is located in golakam. Okay. The seeing power is here. Hearing power is here. Similarly, we have the nostrils, two nostrils. And we have this nose, sharp or blunt. But, okay. But still there obtains what? You can see the physical nose. But there is, we have the subtle power of smelling. It's called Grana Indriyam, Chakshur Indriyam, Shrotra Indriyam. Then tongue. If the tongue is Jihva, if we show the tongue, tongue can come this long, isn't it? Tongue is what? Physical part is Golakam. In that physical tongue, we have imperceptible. Tongue can be seen, tongue is perceptible. Whereas in there we have imperceptible subtle power of tasting called Rasana Indriyam, Rasanendriyam. And similarly, all over the skin, we can see our skin all over covering our body, but skin is the Golakam. In it, on the skin, we have the sense power of touch, which is called Twag Indriyam. So Chakshur Indriyam, Shrotra Indriyam, Chakshur Indriyam, Grana Indriyam, Rasanendriyam, Twag Indriyam. We have five subtle powers of sense organs. Okay, Indriyam. Indriyani. And Shrotra Adini means the power of hearing, etc. Mudaliyana. கேட்கும் சக்தி முதலியன. ஓகே, சோ ஸ்ரோத்ர ஆதீனி, ஃபைவ் சட்டில் தி பவர்ஸ் ஆஃப் சென்ஸ் ஆர்கன்ஸ். இந்திரியாணி அன்யே சம்யம அக்னிஷு ஜுஹ்வதி. சம்யம அக்னிஹி, சம்யம சம்யமஹ. சி, வென் யூ ரீட் சம்யமஹ, Yamaha itself means restrain, you know, control, mastery. And sam is a prefix. Together it says sanya. When the writing is samyamaha, when you're saying it is sanyamaha. Sanyamaha means mastery, self-mastery. And the self-mastery is the fire. Into that fire of self-mastery, All these powers are offered. What does it mean? You know, offering one subtle sense powers into the fire of self-mastery. Is it also what? Yajna worship, which means having mastery over one sense organs, is also looked upon, which is a discipline, which is looked upon as worship. If you practice Dhamma, it is looked upon as worship. You don't have puja, you know, fire is involved, no offering is involved, no pujas, no flowers are involved, no campering is involved, no lighting of the wave is involved, no dhoop is involved, nothing is involved. Still, it is also worship. What is that? Practicing this discipline of having mastery over one's sense organs which is called Dhamma. It's also looked upon as worship. It's Yajna. And so it is said, whoever practices this sensory discipline, he is said to be offering the subtle powers of sense organs, such as hearing power, etc., into the fire of self-mastery. What does it mean? You see only what is conduce, what enables you to follow the Shastra life, the life enjoyed by the Shastra. What you hear, what you see, what you smell, what you taste, there's a moderation in the enjoyment, no? You don't use them, don't abuse them. So you do not see, hear, or smell things which will distract you from the study of the Shastra, which will prevent you from living a life enjoyed by the Shastra, which will take you away from your pursuit of Jnanam and Moksha. You avoid, isn't it? Using your will. This is called what now? Self-discipline. So, self-mastery. And self-mastery, because is the fire of self-mastery, you offer one sense organs. I'll tell you again. Now he says, Shabdadin Vishayan Anye Indriya Agnishu Juhvati. Now Shabdadin. Shabdaha means the sound. You know, the sound, etc. What is sound? The objects, sense objects. First we said sense powers. Now we say sense objects. The sound, smell, taste, light, touch, etc. The objects, sense objects. In Shabda Adin, the sense objects such as sound, etc. Sound, smell, taste, etc. Anye Indriya Agnishu Juhvati. This is also Yajna. Other people offer the sense objects into the fire of sense organs. It's a literal meaning. What does it mean by saying? How can we offer sense powers into the fire of offering sense organs into the fire of self-mastery? The two fires, okay? Then you should know what is the fire and what is being offered. Offering the sense objects. Sense objects are as good as the oblations. Sense objects means what? What you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you touch, isn't it? So all the sense objects experienced, known through five sense powers, are the sense objects. Which is external world of objects. All the entire external world of objects, nothing but sense objects. Heard, smelt, tasted, seen, touched sense objects are the like the oblations, and these oblations obtained in the form of sense objects are offered into the fire of sense organs. And then, I will tell you the literal meaning. I have to explain to you. The sense objects are looked upon as the oblations. And what is the fire? The sense powers are the fire. Indriyani, the sense powers. Each power is the fire into which its corresponding sense object is offered. It's a beautiful thing. I'll explain to you later on. Then, all the sense powers are looked upon as the sense oblations, and they are offered into the fire of self-mastery. So, sanyamaha means self-mastery. And when you say, when the self-mastery is the fire, what are the oblations? Sense powers are the oblations. When the sense objects are the oblations, sense powers become the fire. Is it clear? Yeah, literal meaning. I have to explain to you. Which means even your perception of objects becomes a yajna. You get up in the morning, and once you know the world is a world, and the senses come in contact with sense objects, the perception takes place. Even the perception of the world is worship. Experiencing the world is a worship. The whole day you can see everything becomes worship. All the objects are the oblations. Your sense powers are the fire. And when the sense perception takes place, means objects, sense objects are offered into the fire of sense powers. Understand? Which means in the perception becomes the, every perception is a worship. Which means the whole day, when you throughout your perceiving, until you fall asleep, you keep on perceiving. Either you see, you smell, you taste, you hear, you touch. Sense perception, when does sense perception happen, tell me? Only the morning? Once you are awake, until you fall asleep, constantly there is sense perception. Perception of external world of objects through five sense organs constantly happens. But attention may not be with all the objects. Sometimes attention is only on what you are seeing. Sometimes attention is only on what you are hearing. Sometimes attention is only on what you are smelling. Sometimes the attention is totally in what you are eating. You know, sometimes you are mechanically, when you are eating, suppose sometimes you eat, you are eating your food, we are watching television. Some people sit, watch, they eat watching television. Sometimes they watch television eating. Where is the attention? Can you pay attention to both? Some people who are very capable, they can pay attention simultaneously to 10 things. They are called dasha avadhanis. But when you are eating, when you are seeing, when you are watching television, the serious, you know, serious serial, and the hero is chased by the thief. Yes, you are watching it and you are eating. Completely, I tell you, your attention is totally in what? Only one sense object called what you're watching, object of seeing, whereas object of taste, You don't even know where salt is there, nothing is there, you just gulp it. It happens. Therefore, what I want to say, the even perception of objects through the corresponding sense powers is what? Perception of every object through its given corresponding sense organ is also looked upon as yajnaha. The whole day you are a performer of ritual. And all the objects you perceive are the oblations. And your own sense powers are the, what now, like seeing power is a fire into which the object of sight is offered into. Your power of hearing is the fire into which the sound, object called sound, is offered. So each sense power is a fire and into which its corresponding object is offered. Which means the perception of sense objects is also what? Is a yajna, worship. When does it become? If you have purushartha nischayaha. And you know the value of knowledge. You know knowledge and moksha are identical. You are committed to the pursuit of knowledge. It doesn't matter how much you understand Vedanta, but you are committed. I want jnanam. I want jnanam. I want jnanam. That commitment is there. And you have shraddha in shastram. And you pray to Bhagavan desperately to bless you with all grace to be able to live a life enjoined by the shastram, a life of dharma. Then, if with that earnest prayer, intense, you know, prayer and seeking Bhagavan's grace to be able to live a life of dharma, the commitment to dharma and being thankful to Bhagavan that all that, for all that you are blessed with, and with the purushartha nischaya, when you just do all your duties in conformity with dharma, for as you know, as you, the proper Isharpana buddhi, when you do far jnanam, I'm living this life, I'm doing everything I'm doing for living this life. With understanding when you are living your life, I tell you, your perception also becomes yajna. Simply perception, it becomes yajna. Why? There's no fraction of second a karma yogi, a person who is committed, who's a mukshu, who's a jignasu, who's committed to the pursuit of knowledge, for whom Bhagavan is the end, jnanam is the end, moksha is the end. There's no end other than, absolute end other than jnanam and moksha. And for such a person, so what? Whatever you see, the perception is yajna. And all the objects are like oblations. And they're offered into the fire of sense powers. Is worship. Then all the sense powers also become what? Suppose if you are committed to live a life of dharma and you have surrendered your will to Bhagavan in the form of dharma and you use your will is properly used. I think, I don't know which class I explained to you about the will. I think in the 18th chapter. Will, you make use of your willpower. Bhagavan Krishna says there's a will. You are blessed with the will and you can abuse or you can use. And when you make you the best use of your will and you use your will to choose to do the right action, to refrain from the wrong, knowingly you do not choose to do the wrong action. Unknowingly you may do. No, it means that you will is used, will surrender to Bhagavan of dharma means what? Then what happens to all your desires, thoughts? Now you have your emotions are managed, your desires are managed, then you have mastery over your ways of thinking and your thoughts. Which means then you use your willpower even to amass your sense organs. The sense organ, no? Eyes cannot be watching all the time television. You say, come on, enough. 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, go to bed. Finished. No more watching. Now you don't abuse. You don't overindulge. You make the best use of your sense organs to see. You have to see. This is sense organ. Seeing power has been given to you for you to see. Hearing power is given to you to hear. But what you hear, you decide. What you should not hear, you use your will to hear what you should, to listen, not to listen to, not what to listen to, what I should not hear. Okay, which means what? You have choice. And even if you hear something, what to take in, what to leave it outside as it is. What should I see? What I should not see? How much should I see? How much I should not? What should not to see? And how much to smell? What should I smell? How much to taste? What should I taste? So whatever the tongue asks, you won't give. So it means you take care of what goes in. See, each sense object also is ahara. Ahara means food. Why? Because that which is taken in is called ahara. That which is taken in is called ahara. Ahriyate iti ahara. That which is taken in is ahara. So not only the food which you gulp through your stomach, through your mouth is ahara, each sense object which is perceived through your sense organ, which goes to your mind, is also ahara. So what you see through your physical eyes, seeing power, goes through your mind, goes into your mind, is ahara. What you hear through your sense organ here, it goes to your mind. See, whatever you perceive through any sense organ, it reaches your mind. What you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you touch, everything goes to your mind. That's why the sense objects are also ahara. And these sense objects, when you perceive, they must be what now? You must be conscious. How much should I perceive? How much should I enjoy? And what should I enjoy? When should I say no to sense objects? No, that means the sense powers you filter, isn't it? Therefore he had said, Sanyama Agnihi. Into the fire of self-mastery, you offer your sense powers. Sense powers are the oblations offered into the fire of self-mastery. See, perception itself becomes yajna, and what you perceive, how much you perceive also becomes yajna. So he says, the sense powers are the oblations offered into the fire of self-mastery. And the sense objects are the oblations offered into the fire of sense powers. Which means even this becomes worship.
Shrotradinindriyanan indriyanyanye sanyamagnishu juhvati shabdadin vishayananye indriyagnishu juhvati.
I'll explain to you again. I want you to first know this clearly, without any doubts.
Sarvani indriya karmani prana karmani chapare. Sarvani indriya karmani prana karmani chapare. Atma sanyama yoga agnau
ஜுஹ்வதி ஞானதீபிதே சர்வானேந்திரிய. I'm repeating so many times that you will pick up the verse. I want you all to chant. Unfortunately, I'm doing online class. I can't hear you chanting. I can't make you. So, I'm repeating, okay? Please see that you all learn to chant correctly. Sarvani. When I listen, say first time, listen. Second time, try to chant. Sarvani indriya karmani. பிராணகர்மாணி சாபரே ஆத்மசம்யமயோகாக்னௌ ஜுஹ்வதி ஞானதீபிதே சர்வானேந்திரியகர்மாணி பிராணகர்மாணி சாபரே ஆத்மசம்யமயோகாக்னௌ ஜுஹ்வதி ஞானதீபிதே. The verse 26 talks about தமஹா. The verse 27 talks about தி ஷமஹா. Okay, let me tell you, explain to you again. Let me tell you, explain to you. You can make, now I don't mind if you write, take down some notes also. So in this 26th verse, before I go to 27th verse, I have explained to you the literal meaning of 26th verse. Sarvani Indriya Karmani. Sarvani. சர்வம் சர்வே சர்வாணி ஆல் சர்வாணி பிளஸ் இந்திரிய கர்மாணி. இந்திரிய கர்மாணி மீன்ஸ் வாட்? ஆல் தி ஆக்டிவிட்டீஸ் ஆஃப் ஆல் தி சென்சஸ். பிராண கர்மாணி ச அபரே. பிராண கர்மாணி மீன்ஸ் ஆக்ஷன், ஆர்கன்ஸ் ஆஃப் ஆக்ஷன்ஸ். சி, வி ஹாவ் 10 பவர்ஸ், யூ சி. So, all the activities of the senses and the organs of action. Which means, the 10, Jnanendriya Karmani, Karmendriya, Prana Karmani means the organs of actions. Karmendriyani. Prana Karmani means the functions, actions, activities of the Karmendriyani. Are called prana karmani. Indriya karmani means activities of sense organs. So indriya karmani, prana karmani means the activities of sense organs and activities of organs of actions. With 10, okay, the all 10 powers, the activities of 10 powers, 5 sense organs, 5 organs of actions, the 10, what now? Indriya karmani, prana karmani, all of this into what? They're all like oblations now. So indriya, all the activities of sense organs and all the activities of organs of actions, means you can say all the functions are offered into the fire. So these, the activities of sense organs and activities of organs of actions are likened to the oblations. Oblations means they have to be offered into the fire. And what is the fire into which they are offered? It is not physical offering. Okay? It is an attitude, how you see. Atma sanyama agnihi. Atma sanyamaha also means self-mastery. Self-mastery means what here? Mental discipline. Okay. Atma-sanyama yoga agnau. Atma-sanyama yoga agnau. Into the fire of self-mastery. And which, the fire is what? jnana deepite sanyama agno. The fire is what? The self-mastery in terms of mental discipline itself is the fire, and this fire is, you know, lighted by the knowledge. Jnana deepite sanyama agno. Into this fire of self-mastery lighted by knowledge, what the oblation offered? All the activities of sense organs and organs of actions. In these two was only given the literal meaning now. What is looked upon as oblation and what is the fire? Atma sanyamaha means literally mental discipline. Or you can say here atma sanyamaha, it is a self-mastery. And it's a jnana deepitam, lighted by the knowledge. So the fire of self-mastery, lighted by knowledge, into that fire, oblations are offered. And what are the oblations? Our activity, all the activities of the 10 powers. Karmendriyani and Jnanendriyani. All of them are like the oblations offered into the fire of self-mastery lighted by knowledge. It's the literal meaning of the verse. I'm only telling you literal meaning today. And first now, 26th verse. In both these verses, you should know what is the fire, what are the oblations. Literally know this. Then I explain these two verses again in next class. So in 26th verse, also use the word sanyamaha. So sanyamaha means self-mastery. So first we say, all the sense powers are the oblations, and they're offered into the fire of self-mastery. Number one offering, yajna. Then sense objects are the oblations offered into the fire of sense powers. The third one, not the sense powers, not the sense objects, but the activities of the 10 powers are the oblations. They're offered into the fire of self-mastery. What are all the oblations? What is the fire? I want you to remember this next class. Okay, don't forget this. You know why? I have only made an effort to make you understand the literal meaning of these two verses. The whole class I have to spend just to make you understand literal meaning. Which means I need to explain this well. These two verses have to be explained. Because In Karma Kandaha, worship means an act of offering, symbolic act of offering. And in Vedic period, we had only offering means oblations are offered into the fire. The fire must be kindled, oblations must be offered. And the fire is the carrier of oblations to all the natural phenomena called devatas. This is the fire. Fire ritual is the worship. For worship is always in the form of performance of a fire ritual. So the oblations have to be offered to the fire. Now here, not only that the fire ritual is the worship. Now, following every discipline also is a worship. When, if Purushartha Nischaya is there, everything becomes a discipline. And first we saw how literally, even karma yogis who perform rituals offer oblations, invoking the grace of many devatas. We saw that. Then how people who are given life of sannyasa, who live a life contemplative life, how they offer themselves by themselves into the fire of knowledge of Brahman. Now we see here, even other people who all strictly practice these disciplines. For what? In order to prepare the mind for jnanam. It also becomes worship, yajnaha. Yajnaha, a fire ritual, worship. Worship in a fire ritual is a yajna. So here, and we understand in these two verses, three rituals are mentioned. You have to see what are the oblations. So first we saw sense powers are the oblations and offered into the fire of self-mastery. Then we saw sense objects are these oblations offered into the fire of sense powers. And we saw third one, the activities of these 10 organs are the oblations offered into the fire of self-mastery. What do we mean by self-mastery? How it is a fire? How the offering the sense powers from activities means what? Etc. I'll explain to you next class. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Hari Om.